and welcome. You are now listening to the Child Development Chronicles, a podcast run by Professor Anselmi at Trinity College that answers questions that parents might have about their child's development. The characters in the podcast are fictional, but all the information provided is based on extensive research completed by Trinity College students in the Child Development 295 class. This specific session will cover the topic of spanking children as a disciplinary technique and alternative ways to discipline children. I am joined by Professor Curtis, a clinical psychologist, and Jessica, a mother of two. Jessica, would you go ahead and introduce yourself first?
Yes. Hi, my name is Jessica. I'm a mother with a son and daughter, and I've been trying to find an effective way to discipline my children and would love to hear ideas about alternatives to spanking, so I'm very excited to be here.
Thank you, Jessica. Professor Curtis?
Yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Professor Andre Curtis, and I'm a professor of psychology, and I'm delighted to be here.
Well, it is my pleasure to have you both on my podcast. Listeners have been blowing up my inbox with questions about how to discipline children effectively, and one mom's concern was about spanking because there is a lot of confusing information out there. I was hoping after this podcast session, our listeners will have some clarity on the topic. So to begin, Professor Curtis, could you please go ahead and define spanking for us so that we are clear on its meaning?
Sure. The clinical consensus on spanking as a disciplinary method is where a caregiver uses an open hand to strike the buttocks or extremities of the child. Spanking sometimes includes the use of a belt or other objects to inflict physical displeasure by hitting on the palm of the hand or sole of the foot.
As a mother, I was a bit unclear about the details and proper use of spanking. I'm sure other mothers listening would have the same confusion as well, so I'm thankful for the clarification.
Great. So, Professor Curtis, what are the effects of spanking?
While spanking has the potential to deter negative behavior, the caregiver is essentially manipulating the child's behavior by fear. There is also the potential for increased aggression as a side effect when the child starts to model the caregiver's behavior. The children are not learning to properly communicate distress they may be feeling, since spanking normally involves little dialogue between the caregiver and child about the reason for spanking. The research shows that children in such an environment demonstrate lower social competence, lower IQ, and they are much more likely to engage in delinquent behavior when compared to their peers whose caregivers adopt the American Academy of Pediatrics recommended disciplinary techniques.
That is a very interesting point. I have to admit, when I was growing up, it was quite common for parents to spank their children, especially boys. I feel like that may have led us to be more respectful of our parents, but not necessarily change our behaviors, as we are mostly fearful of our caregivers finding out about our bad behavior.
That is a very interesting point, Jessica. So, Professor Curtis, how does spanking result in a breakdown of communication between the caregiver and the child?
When a caregiver is thinking about disciplining a child, my question would definitely be, what is your objective? If you want to change a defiant behavior, studies have shown that spanking is not effective and may be counterproductive. What is recommended, based on the findings of multiple research articles, is that caregivers should communicate to the child their disappointment with a particular behavior or action and come to a verbal agreement on what the possible consequences of those behaviors would be if they were to happen in the future. This approach validates a child's feelings, explain to them why their behaviors are not appropriate and what will be the consequences for future negative behaviors.
One of my callers asked about gender and how boys and girls respond to various disciplinary techniques. Are there any differences between sons and daughters and how parents should discipline them?
I, too, am really curious about the question because I struggle with disciplining my son and daughter as I am often unclear what works best. I never know if I should be doing the same thing with my children or, because they are different genders, I should discipline them differently.
That is a very interesting question. Parents often have different expectations for the behaviors of boys and girls, and as a result, react differently to the same behavior depending on the gender of the child exhibiting the behavior. Since boys in general tend to display more physically aggressive behaviors than girls, parents may need to create more structure in helping their son control his behavior. There also may be differences in how parents verbalize their disapproval to the child. When disciplining a girl, make sure you criticize constructively because girls tend to be more sensitive to criticism and much more attentive to what others think of them. Conversely, with boys, it is often necessary to spell out clearly what the problem is with the behavior.
Wow, I see that with my children. My son tends to be more aggressive, whereas my daughter tends to be more emotional.
Another question is, do you think when you spank your child, you are teaching them potentially negative lessons?
Most definitely. Parents are the first role models that children have and probably the most impactful. If the child sees their parent using aggressive technique as a means of getting what they want, which spanking typically involves, then the child may see physical attacks as a way of communicating his or her feelings or as a way to treat others when they don't get what they want. This may ultimately lead to a child bullying others, especially those whom they perceive as less powerful.
From a mother's perspective, I've always feared that spanking my children could have negative effects. There are so many different ideas about spanking. I really appreciate you taking the time to address this controversial topic.
What recommendations can you offer as alternatives to spanking?
The research indicates that it would be best to model the behaviors you want to see and praise the child when he or she is demonstrating the appropriate behaviors. As I already mentioned, reasoning with your child is a very important technique that teaches them what they did wrong and how they can act differently in the future. Timeouts or withdrawing privileges are common alternatives that can be effective, especially as children get older. However, when deciding whether or not you are going to put your child in timeout, make sure you're not overusing it and that the child's behavior is worthy of timeout. Another alternative is time in. This is when the parent asks the child to desist from the behavior or makes the effort to calm the child down by gentle physical restraint or removing the child from the scene. The parent then engages the child in a non-threatening conversation about the situation.
So, Professor Curtis, why should any caregiver choose an alternative to spanking their child?
The overwhelming research about spanking suggests that the alternatives I have shared are just as effective as spanking, and they don't come with the negative outcomes. Children who were disciplined using the previously mentioned approaches are less likely to struggle with aggression in adulthood and are less likely to get in trouble with law enforcement than those who were spanked. Another reason parents should choose alternative methods to spanking is that those who were spanked are also more likely to suffer from chronic diseases and depression compared to their peers who did not receive spanking.
So, Professor Curtis, is there a takeaway today that you would like to tell our listeners?
Parents should be very mindful of what they hope to achieve when they are disciplining their children. If they are looking to improve the child's behavior, spanking is not the best way to achieve that goal. Other methods that I suggested, which can be found on the American Academy of Pediatrics website, can be very helpful. I highly recommend that parents take a look at the website to educate themselves more on the topic.
I appreciate the opportunity to hear from someone so knowledgeable on this topic. Thank you, Lily, for including me in your podcast.
Thank you both Jessica and Professor Curtis for coming in and talking to us today, as I know there are so many opinions about the issue. Have a good night, and thank you for tuning in.